Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to do our very best to expound verses 1 through 7. 1 through 7. And so, let's get our screen prepared right up here. And I've entitled this evening's message, The Lord Knows How to Deliver the Godly. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly. My friends, in these passages of Scripture, Peter reminds the readers how God judged cities and people and sins of the Old Testament. And we're seeing through Scripture how things repeat itself. And so as we are now in the year 2023, Jesus said in the book of Matthew that in the last days and times that it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. And Peter mentions them. He mentions them why? It's because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does change. He changes not. Man changes. Cultures come and go. But man will always disappoint. But I'm just here to let you know, because God is steadfast, because God is worthy to be praised. God's immovable. God never changes. And so we can most rest assured that when it's all said and done, everything will end in judgment. Judgment needs to come. Why? Because when God sets up the 1,000-year millennial reign here on this earth, there will not be any sin anymore. God will renovate this world, and we will live with Him. Those of us who He has called and chosen, we will live with Him for 1,000 years to rule and reign on this earth. And yes, there still will be humans on this earth. And that's another study for another time, and it's throughout the book of Revelation. But we're going to see how God delivers the godly. Oh, that's right. I'm here to let you know that whatever predicament that you as a child of God would ever find yourself in, I'm here to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. God will be the one to come and rescue us. He'll be the one to come and deliver us. He'll be the one to come and restore us and to heal us. Oh, that's right. A lot of times we do it to ourselves. My affliction was done to myself. I can't blame no one but me. And the way I was eating, the way I was just not taking care of myself, things like gallbladder stones and kidney stones, they develop. Why? From poor habits. But I call my situation the blessed affliction. I'm glad that I was afflicted. Why? Because it brought me to perspective that our life is short here on this earth, and we are to learn from every predicament of life that God allows to happen to us. No, God did not send that upon me. No, God wants to bless us. God gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding from His Word. But it is us, sinful beings, that sometimes we lose track. We get off course. And God's there to bring us back to the fold, to bring us back to the straight and narrow. So once again, this evening's message I've entitled, The Lord Knows How to Deliver the Godly. So, with that said, let's go to the Word of God. Let's read verses 1 through 7 in 2 Peter chapter 2. And it reads, But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetous, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Verse 6 and 7, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Wow. Wow. You see, the Bible's clear. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. No matter what predicament we may find ourselves in, whether it was through sins of omission or sins of commission, God is still there to deliver the righteous. And you and I, we're righteous because of Christ. When Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, the blood that was shed has cleansed you and I by faith of our sins. And once we receive salvation, He imputes upon us His righteousness. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's why we can cry, Abba, Father, now, because we are born again. We are children of the Most High God. And so God looks after His own. Praise God. He was looking after me. He's looking after you. And He will look after us until He comes for us. Oh, that's right. This is why we should always remember that God will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. So let's go to verse 1 and let's break this down. But there were also what? False prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on what? Bring on themselves swift destruction. Wow, wow. See, saints, the end chapter of number 1 leads into the topic of this letter. Peter had explained that God had worked through humans for what? To give His words to the people. At the same time, however, evil was at work. And it's always at work, saints of God. You see, the true prophets spoke and wrote God's words. But there were also false prophets in Israel. There's still some today in our world. And in the Old Testament times, false prophets contradicted the true prophets. Oh yeah, examples throughout the Word of God. There's examples in Deuteronomy, telling them only what they wanted to hear. Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's go to one of these right here. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13:1-5. And it reads, if there arises among you a false prophet, dream, or dreamers, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, notice little g, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Look at this. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Why? For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. Hold fast to Him. Look at this, verse 5. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Why? Because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Wow. You see, saints, these false prophets did not speak God's words, and they brought messages to make the people and the kings feel good. Scripture explains, saints of God, that these false prophets would face God's judgment. Wow. You see, coming from within the churches, the false teachers worked. They worked to teach their destruction heresies about God. How can we distinguish destructive heresies from differences of opinion? Well, saints of God, the term heresy applies to cardinal doctrines whose misinterpretation would be destructive to Christianity. Differences of opinion apply to issues that will never fully be solved. Praise God, praise God. And the word for turn against means to contradict, reject, or disavow. Thus, these heresies would have taken the form of denying Christ's second coming, or even denying Christ's lordship by disobeying his teaching and practicing of immorality. Wow, wow. You see, my friends, some false teachers were belittling the significance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And some claim that Jesus could not be God at all. And others claim that he could not have been a real human being. These teachers often allowed, even encouraged, all kinds of wrong and immoral acts, especially sexual sin. You see, my friends, Peter revealed the seriousness of denying Christ for turning away from him who would bring swift and a terrible end. This would not happen immediately, for many false teachers worked and prospered. And when that certain destruction came, however, it would be swift and final. Wow, wow. Okay, so now let's go to verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 2. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be what? Blasphemed. Blasphemed. You see, this is where we don't want to be, in a position to blaspheme God. You see, saints, despite the certainty of their destruction, the false teachers, unfortunately, will be successful in two areas. First, many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And such practices were common. They were common in pagan societies and often were part of pagan religions. No different than today. Popularity was certainly not the right criteria for the truth. And secondly, saints of God, Christ and his true way would be slandered. There's people slandering Christ right now. They've removed him in our public squares. They removed him from the court system. They removed him from the schools. You see, my friends, they would discredit the Christian gospel taught by Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And in his first letter, Peter had explained at length, saints of God, the importance of Christians living blamelessly before this unbelieving world. And those who followed the false teachers into shameful living would malign the gospel before the world. Wow. Wow. So now, let's move on to verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 2. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? Let me just read that again. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Don't mess with don't be in the hands of a living God or an angry God. You see, saints, Peter spared no words no words in his condemnation of the false teachers. He exposed their prime motivation and their greed. Only money, not the truth, mattered to them. Students ought to pay their teachers, but these false teachers were attempting to make more money by making up clever lies, distorting the truth and what people wanted to hear. You see, my friends, the teaching that people can live as they please without fear of punishment was very popular. And their destruction may not arrive immediately, but when it comes, it will be swift and it will be certain. You see, my friends, the teachers may seem to get away with their exploitation just for a while, but God had condemned them long ago. Peter explained to the believers that God's promises were sure, no matter how long they had to wait for them. Praise God, praise God. And perhaps the false teachers said that God, that because of God's promises had not come about, they had to, praise God, praise God. They had to wait, my friends. They had to wait. And so, we all know that nothing more than untrue stories made up by many of those false teachers and were deceiving the disciples. You see, my friends, Peter took their argument and explained that no matter how long it might take, and no matter how successful the false teachers might seem to be, their condemnation and destruction was for sure going to come to pass. Wow. Wow. And so, my friends, let's go now to verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 2. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for what? For judgment. Wow. For judgment. These angels are cast down to the bottomless pit. You see, my friends, if some people did not believe in future judgment and punishment, Peter gave examples of how God had judged evil in the past. Saints, he pointed out that God did not spare even the angels when they sinned. This could be a reference to the angels who rebelled along with Satan himself. Oh, that's right. We read this right here in Ezekiel. Look at this. In Ezekiel 28, 14 through 15. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Wow. This is where Satan lifted himself up and God has to cast him out of heaven. Wow. But the angels, a lot of them are in the pit right now, and the majority of them will be thrown into the lake of fire with the false prophet and the Antichrist, and Satan himself. Wow. Wow. That's a future day coming, saints of God. And don't you forget about it. Don't you forget about it. All the things that are taking place, the evils of this day, God will have his perfect way with them. Yeah, they may seem like they're getting away right now, but trust me. Trust the word that God will bring swift judgment in his time. You see, saints, more likely it is the incident recorded in Genesis, because of the following verses relate to incidents also taken from the portion of Genesis, the flood and the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, if God did not even spare his angels, neither will he spare those false teachers of yesterday and also of today. The angels who sinned were thrown into hell. And that phrase in the Greek is one word used only in the New Testament, literally meaning to cast into Tartarus. Yes, the Greek word for hell is Tartarus. In Greek mythology, Tartarus was located in the lowest part of the underworld and was of a place of punishment, of rebellious, of the Greek gods and departed spirits of very evil people. So it's mentioned in their Greek mythology, but it's mentioned in the Word of God, where it's not a myth. It's fact. They are there. And God's going to cast all the evildoers as well in His appointed time. Wow. But saints of God, these angels were in prison in this hell, in gloomy caves and darkness. And this might also be the place of punishment that's set aside in that realm. Wow. Look, I'm going to show you something what we read last couple of weeks ago. Let's go here right now. In 1 Peter chapter 3, you remember it says, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. That was Jesus when he died on the cross, who formerly was disobedient. Look at this. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Wow. So we read that. We're reminded, saints, the place confinement cannot be identified, but it is a place in totally God's control. And these sinful angels will wait in hell, a place of punishment, until the judgment day, referring to their final doom. Their final doom. Look what else I found here in Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? God is saying that he's not joking around with evildoers, with false teachers, with the unbeliever, the one that has rejected Christ. They will be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever. Oh, that's right. I know a lot of churches won't talk about hell because they don't want to lose no one in their congregation. They want to just leapfrog over hell and think everything is hunky-dory. I'm here to let you know that we cannot leapfrog any scripture. We must read through the scriptures, and we must apply and believe that what God has written down will come to pass. And many of them have come to pass already. And so false teachers will face the same judgment as the rebellious agents, saints of God. So let's move on to verse 5 in 2 Peter chapter 2. And do not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Wow. Wow. You see, God's grace is in this. His judgment and grace. Saints, another example of God's certain judgment of evil is the vast flood that destroyed the whole world of ungodly people. Peter referred to the flood 3 times in his 2 letters. Oh, that's right. Let's read this right here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and do not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of the 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Wow. Wow. You see, saints, God did not spare the ancient world for the great sinfulness of all humankind. Led him to destroy the entire rebellious civilization. It was just in a handful. This is why we need to be careful. Because there are many in this nation that are very sinful. This is why I truly believe that the saints of God that live in this country and that live around the world, the Bible's clear. We're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. God's going to come and remove us out of the way. Why? So then he has to bring judgment. Yes, that's right. Yet even as God was destroying all the sinful people in Noah's day, he powerfully protected Noah and his 7 members. Wow. Oh, yes. It's found right here in Genesis. Look at this. Then God spoke to Noah saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You see, there's mercy. There's grace. There's an awesome, sovereign God always, always in control, saints. And that's how much God loves you and I. He's going to spare us from that horrible day that's coming soon. It's coming soon. And saints, Noah had warned the world of God's righteous judgment, but no one believed him. And God's punishment is not arbitrary. Those who deserve punishment will receive his punishment. Those who trust in him will receive grace. And Peter's readers should be, they should understand, saints of God, the comparison. Those who choose the wrong path face eternal consequences. My goodness, my goodness. This is why week after week after week, we always give an invitation to receive God. Because you never know who's listening. You never know a person who has never given their heart to Jesus. Well, maybe that day and time, maybe tonight, in a few moments, when I give another invitation, maybe someone will log in and it'll be God's timing, perfect timing, to bring that person into his great salvation. Let's move on. We got two more verses to break down. Let's look at verse 6 in 2 Peter chapter 2. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live what? Ungodly. Ungodly. Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, a third example of God's certain punishment of evil is the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the book of Genesis, it describes the sinfulness of these cities and Abraham's effort to keep them from being destroyed. And when not even 10 righteous people could be found in the cities, God destroyed them by burning them into heaps of ashes and swept them off the face of this earth. Oh, that's right. Look at what it says right here in Genesis 19, 24 and 25. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. Total annihilation. Total annihilation. Saints, the cities do not even exist today. Archaeologists believe they may have been buried by the waters of the Dead Sea somewhere before you get to Eilat. Peter explained that the horror of these cities ending is an example of what will happen to ungodly people, even of this day and age we live in. Great will be the suffering of the ungodly, saints of God. Their ending will result in punishment, gloom, and banishment from the presence of God. In our day, God's punishment on the unrighteous seems less of a preaching and teaching priority. Oh, that's right. Like I mentioned, there's churches that won't talk about this. Do we, like the false teachers, think we have outgrown this clear doctrine of Scripture? We have a lot of emphasis on tolerance of others and the self-help benefits of the Bible. But you and I, we must not dilute God's clear words of warning, saints of God. This is why God saved us, that we would be a mouthpiece. We would have a blowhorn shouting it out, telling men and women to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, saints, to turn away from God is to turn to ruin. And from such ruin, there will be no escape. Don't neglect teaching about God's judgment. And we're now going to look at the last verse of Scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Wow. Wow, saints. Wow. This is God's sovereignty, His love for the righteous. Saints, just as Noah had been protected from the flood that destroyed the earth, so Lot, Abraham's nephew, had been rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction. Lot had chosen to settle near Sodom, but was distressed by the wickedness he saw and what he heard day after day. Lot lived in Sodom, and apparently there was of some importance there, for when the angels went to take Lot from the city, they found him sitting at the gateway of the city where the officials met. Saints of God, I ask this question. Are you and me at the end of the gate like Lot? Because the angels found Lot at the end of the gate, and then they came to pull him and his loved ones out. I truly believe that God's going to bring us to that gate, so when the rapture takes place, we'll be out of here. And what I mean by to a gate, the gate of our heart, that we would want to be with the Lord now. Saints, I love this. I love my family. I love our church. I love my life. The Bible says, love yourself as you love others. But Jesus is coming soon. And God doesn't want us attached to this world where we would be like Lot's wife. We're going to read about that next week. She had to turn back and look at what she felt she was leaving behind. And God had warned them that if you turn back, you'd be turned into a pillar of salt. We're going to read next week what happened to Lot's wife. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus is coming again. Soon and very soon, He's coming again. My question is, are you prepared? Will you be like Noah, preaching the gospel, waiting for the rain to come? Will you be at the end of the gate like Lot, knowing that his days were numbered there in that wicked city? We live in a time of great wickedness. There's perversion, sexual immorality. There's lawlessness. There's so much crime. There's a lot of violence. There's many things in our nation and around the world. And God has to eradicate that soon and very soon. My question is, are you prepared to meet the King? Are you ready? Well, the Bible says to be ready. To be ready when Jesus comes again. And I hope, saints of God, that you're ready. I want to be ready the best way I know how. And that's to allow God to sanctify me. Allowing God to sanctify you. And all sanctification is allow Him to set you apart. Allow you to be different from the world. Allow you and I to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to win. He's a winner. And when we read the end of Revelation, He's won. That's our hope, that Jesus has won. And He won this whole entire battle with good and evil, with the evil of this world, by tossing the false prophet, the Antichrist, Satan and all his dominion, all his angels, into the lake of fire that burns forever. That day's coming. But what side will you be on? Are you going to be on Jesus' side, or will you be on Satan's side? There's no in between. Nowhere do you read in the Word of God that there's a place called purgatory. That's a religious make-belief. It was strung up by religion. I'm here to let you know that we're going to heaven because we have a relationship with the Most High God. You and I, we have repented of our sins. We turned our back on sin and we confessed our sin. And once we came to that place of repentance, then God washed us in His blood. And once He took away the sin, praise God, He filled us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And now, my friends, we're heaven bound. And there's a hell to shun. I'm asking this question. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? And my friends, if you're listening for the very first time, second time, third time, and never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask right now the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is receive Him by faith. So if you're watching, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone got saved. And if you got saved, look at down below is our banner. Our website's there. Log on to our website. You'll find our phone number and our email. Reach out to us. Let us know you've given your heart to God. You know what we want to do in return? We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to lead you and guide you to a church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God, so that you would be on your way to a place called heaven when God sends for us and raptures us out of here. Now, I'm also very thankful for each and every one of you that continues to support our ministry. We are so blessed and mighty thankful. As you can see down below, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time for me to sign off. I'm just so thrilled and happy to be back on Wednesday night. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're going to have a special worship guest named Khalid. Oh, voice of an angel and can play the keyboards. He'll be there with Brother Andre and Brother Angel. We're going to be blessed, so blessed, this very coming Sunday. And I also want to give a great big shout out to Sister Dana that worshiped last week. We're going to see her back on the 9th. And so we got a lot of worship in store for us for the month of July that's coming. And we are mighty, mighty thankful. So on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, we leave you this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.